Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. Teaching, learning, and doing. Where we eat well. Pastor O is back with his all-you-can-eat buffet of spiritual food for our inner men. Come back for seconds at rfcm.org where you can listen again where the message is recorded. And then come closer to Jesus. The message title is Do Not Worry. The text is Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. So turn or click in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6, verses 31 through 34. It reads as follows in the NLT. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen.
Amen.
Let's listen with ears to ear. Pastor O deliver a message titled, Do Not Worry. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen.
Amen.
And after all we've been through this morning, I'm certain to say don't worry. Amen. But now y'all see how important you are. And how important participation is. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right. Let me get the three ladies up here. Doing the three-wheel motion. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us yet another opportunity to come into your house and worship together, to come into your house and learn from you together. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you allow me to deliver the message to this people, your people, that you gave to me. I know I can't give them all you gave me because that would take too much time. But let me pick out the parts. Let you pick out the parts you want me to give to them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And Lord, bless my heart.
And Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think, so I can test and approve what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I especially want to thank the preachers who, amen, who preached before me, and especially Pastor Terrence Tate, who pulled out his Bible and beat the crap out of me with it last week. I forgive him for that. He didn't know what I was facing. I had something to worry about. But he challenged me. If the first thing that came out of his mouth was, we say we trust God until something goes wrong.
Right, right.
Amen. And on my last doctor's visit, oh, Lord have mercy, some stuff went completely wrong. Amen. He said, son, you got the trifecta of death. That was what Jesus was telling me on the way home. He said, you got the trifecta of death. You got all three of them keyed. Don't worry. So he started, and then, and so, amen. It's all right to be concerned.
Yes.
But to not worry. Okay, but everything's under control now. But it wasn't then. It didn't start till Monday when things started getting under control. Amen. Blood pressure's down into the teens. And my little snitch, the Omron blood pressure machine, which is Bluetooth so my doctor can know just what's going on every day, it'd be snitching me out. It'd be like, oh, yeah. Now, how many know that 120 over 80 is good? Wrong. Omron say, you're elevated. I'm like, dude, he told me 120 over 80. He's like, well, I'm telling you, you elevated. Get it below 120. Get it between 110 and 119. You good. Amen. But in this life, we will have things that God will allow to come our way. Either he's going to send it, or we're going to eat all the wrong food. Like, you know, I thought it was cool. Barbecue, fried chicken, a Culver's burger, pork chops. What was wrong with that?
No.
And I thought pork was the other way to eat. Apparently it's not. Amen. So when you switch up, my diet went from baked food to all of that. And then Culver's with the fries and with the double Swiss burgers and amen. And I ain't even say, I want my fries without salt. Just give me fries, amen. And a pop to go with it. And feel good after I eat it. But almost a whole year of that, and then you go see your doctor again, and like, what did you do? You were doing so well. I'm like, I switched my diet a little bit. So now it's baked turkey breast, baked chicken. I hate baked food. Amen. But he says, you want to live? Amen. But anyway, it got under control quickly. Because what was tearing it up was out the window. And now I got one treat day a week. And the rest of the week, I eat like Sheila. Amen. She brought me a plate. Kelly, she brought me a... I got your name right. The first time. Wait a minute. Oh, I was close. Anyway, she brought me a plate. Lolo didn't have nothing but vegetables on it. I'm like, what's that? Nothing but vegetables. And she says, that's good for you. I'm like, no. But anyway, the Lord will allow from time to time things to come and trouble us. Now, this passage comes out of Jesus' three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he spoke a whole lot of things to the people. And he had just finished telling them about, you know, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then he moved into the discussion on anxiety, being anxious about this and being anxious about that. And what really grabbed me about this verse, amen, about this passage, especially the first verse, it says, therefore. Now the therefore speaks to what came before that word. And what came before that word, he says, do not worry about food. Do not worry about clothes. Do not worry about water. And he gave some descriptions. He said, do you notice the birds in the air? They don't wake up in the morning and wonder where they're going to get food from, even though they don't have what we have. He says they don't gather and store it up in a barn. Well, for us today, since we're not an agrarian society, we go to the grocery store, we gather it up and store it in the refrigerator. So Jesus says, you don't see the birds waking up in the morning worrying about where that next worm coming from, or where that next, whatever that bug coming from, whatever it is that they eat. They don't worry about that. They trust God. They wake up in the morning and they don't start waking up worrying. They wake up singing. They wake up, yeah, like Crystal said, they be outside her windows, this whole choir of them. Amen. But they wake up trusting God. They wake up believing God don't provide. And they're not anxious about it. What they do is they just wait. They know the Lord made them. They know, and they're instinctual. So instinctually, they know food is going to be provided for them. So they don't worry. And Jesus also talked about clothes. He said, now how many times have you gone outside and saw flowers, okay, being anxious about color? They get that from what's called chlorophyll, okay, and it happens through a process called photosynthesis. And so they believe and they know that God's going to give them color and God's going to give them growth through the sun. Get that? Ain't that a metaphor? Their life comes through the sun. Everything they need comes from the sun. And when the sun comes out, they just open up. And when the sun's not out, they close up. You ever watch dandelions on a dark day? They'll just close right up. But when that sun comes out, they open up and they're ready to receive. So Jesus says, if the birds of the air can trust me, if the plants of the ground can trust me, and not one of them was arrayed, you know, not even Solomon was arrayed like one of them, and if today they're in the ground and then tomorrow just cut up and thrown away, how much more will your Heavenly Father provide for you? Amen. We just, in Rebecca's class on last Wednesday, we were talking about Israel. We were talking about bad examples. I think, who taught the class on good examples? I think that was Deacon Taylor, or Lola, Deaconess Loretta, amen, and Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, amen, followed each other. Rebecca, Lola's, Deaconess Loretta's class was about, okay, good examples. And Deaconess Rebecca's class was about bad examples, amen. And what we found was Israel, when they came out of Egypt, amen, they had to learn how to trust God. So that means that God put them in places and in situations where all they had to do was trust Him. First, they had to trust God to bring them out of Egypt. They had been in struggling for a long time. It wasn't like a week or a day, it was 430 years that they had been in chattel slavery. They had no rights, they were owned by somebody else. But Moses came and said, God sent me to bring y'all out. Amen. And of course, after being in slavery for so long, you begin to believe that you can't come out. You begin to believe that it's impossible. And how are you, a man who murdered somebody and ran away, and now you pop back up talking about God sent me to get y'all, you and your little raggedy brother? I don't believe that. Amen. Aaron. Imagine that. Here come Aaron and Moses talking about, we getting ready to beat up Pharaoh and we gonna walk out of here. And Darius said, like, seriously? I mean, amen. And Deacon Freeman. Amen. Amen. It's hard, it was hard for them to believe because they had been in slavery so long. Amen. But now God did those 10 plagues on Egypt and they literally marching out. It's about 2 million of them now. And they come to the Red Sea, and what is the first thing they did? Worry. Because why? God gave them something to worry about. They should have trusted the Lord who just brought them out by the 10 powerful plagues, but now they're standing in front of the Red Sea, and somebody has whispered through the crowd, Pharaoh and them up on the hill, Pharaoh coming with his chariots and army to get us. Now they got something to do. They got a choice to make. Either they're going to trust God, or they're going to worry. And what did they do? They immediately started blaming Moses. You brought us out here. You brought us to this Red Sea. We could have gone around Goshen and gone right into the land, into the promised land, but you brought us this way. Did you bring us out here to die? And that started their downturn. And that's what starts our downturn. When we refuse to trust God, when we refuse to believe that God is going to bring us out, then we start to worry. And the reason God does not like worry is because it says God can't help me. It says whatever it is that's facing me is more powerful than God is. And so Moses even panicked because the Lord said to Moses, why are you panicking and crying out to me? Well, Pharaoh and them, the Red Sea, these crazy people. What do you mean, why am I panicking and crying out to you? The Lord reminded Moses what he had. He said, what is that in your hand? You remember when Peter faced the man who had been lame from birth and had been laid on Solomon's porch? And what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but in the what? Name of Jesus. So God reminded him what he had, and what we have is the Lord on our side. If God will take care of a bird, if God will cause a plant to grow and be beautiful, how much more will he care for us? And Jesus followed that up by saying, O ye of little faith. Amen. Y'all remember Job, right? He had something to worry about. Job said it himself in Job 3 and verse 25, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. See, Job had some inner fears. Job had some things he was afraid of. Oh yeah, he the richest man in the East. Yeah, he got respect in the neighborhood. Yes, he got 10 wonderful sons and daughters, and amen, and everybody speaks well of him. But then Job had these fears. He feared losing everything that God gave him. He feared losing his status in the community. He feared losing his children. And all of the things that Job feared, God let happen to him. Why? Because Job could not be happy with all that he had. Have you ever been somewhere at a party, having a good time, and then somebody walk in and just change your whole mood? You can't even enjoy the party no more. You ready to leave the party. I didn't know they was coming. I was having a good time till they got here. Amen. Well, that's what happened to Job. The thing that he thought was hidden from God, amen, which wasn't healthy for his faith, God let it happen, let all of it happen. He lost all his kids, lost his status in the community, lost all his money, and then his wife, who loved him dearly, said, you know, I don't know if you, and lost his health and couldn't get well. Then his wife looked at him and said, you know, you'd be better off if you just cussed God out and let him kill him. Because, you know, I don't know if you know what you look like, but you don't look good, okay? But Job, I preached a sermon somewhere, and it said, in all this, Job, that was the title, in all this. And I talked about everything that happened to Job. And none of the things that happened to Job changed his faith in God. He didn't like what he was going through. He didn't understand what he was going through, but nothing changed his faith in God. Even though he was lost everything that you could possibly lose, and everything that he thought would take him under has happened to him. But in all this, Job did not charge God with folly, and Job did not speak against the Lord. And that is what Satan wants us to do. Amen. In this life, we're going to have what? Trials and tribulations. There will be things to try us. There will be things to trouble us. But God's going to wait to see how you respond. Amen. When I got all of that bad news from the doctor, what I did was went straight to the Lord and laid it all. What does the Bible say? Cast your cares on him, because he what? Cares for you. I couldn't allow what I was going through. I couldn't allow what was happening to me caused me to think God don't care about me. Caused me to believe that God is punishing me for some thing I did. And somehow I've caused all this to happen to myself. Well, I did. But amen. The Lord was still there to deliver me. So I took the faith that I had and put it in him to see the pathway. With every temptation, he'll show you what? A way of escape. And so I looked for the way of escape. And the way of escape is a way like Jesus didn't want to go through the cross. I didn't want to go through what I had to go through. But I went through those things and got to the other side. And that's when you get to hear God say, like he said to Abraham, now I know. Amen. Abraham waited for how long? 25 years to get this son from 75 to 100. And now he's got this son, and this son has lived about 12 or 13 years. And God says, take him up on the mountain that I'll show you and sacrifice him to me there. Now, Hebrews tells us why Abraham was willing to do that. He says that he reasoned in his heart that God was able to raise the dead. Why? Because God had made some awesome promises about this son, Isaac, and how through him and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and all the rest of them, that the whole world would be blessed. Now, everything that was going on and everything that was happening didn't cause him to shrink back from believing God. He had to step up and step forward and trust God. The Hebrew boys, when they were brought down to Babylon, they were told, look, you got to eat this meat. This is the king's meat, and y'all got to eat this meat. And Ashpenaz, who had them, the eunuch who was over charge of them, amen, told him, you got to eat this meat. Because if you don't eat this meat, and you don't eat the king's food, and you turned out looking bad, then that's going to reflect on me, and all of us are going to die. They made a deal with him. They said, look, let us eat vegetables and lentils. Okay, and if we look bad at the end of the 10 days, then we'll eat the king's meat. But if not, amen. What did they do? They cast their cares on him. They went to Ashpenaz, they made the deal, and then they went to the Lord and asked the Lord to bless them, and guess what God did? He blessed them. They were asked later on to bow down or be thrown into the fiery furnace. Tell me if that won't make you work. Tell me if you heard the king say heat it up 7 times hotter. Amen. And the people who threw them in got burnt up, but they didn't. But who joined them in the fire? See, what the devil don't want you to know is that if you go ahead and trust, lean, and rely on God, amen, that's when the Lord's going to come in. The devil goes to God and get permission slips from him to come and attack us. And if you read the story of Job carefully, you'll see one thing the devil didn't ask was for more power to get at Job. All he wanted was permission to go at Job. And then the devil was able, now watch this, he tracks us. The devil tracks us. How did he just happen to do the things to Job that Job feared the most? Because he pays attention to us. Amen. See, we don't pay as much attention to us as he does. But he pays attention to us. So he knows what to ask God. And he goes to the Lord to get permission slip from him to come and throw something at us. But guess what? If God gives Satan permission, you already have the wherewithal to defeat him. Other than that, God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to endure. Amen? We say it like this, God will never put more on our plate than we can handle. Amen? And he won't. So if God allows something to come your way, guess what? You already have what you need from God to handle it. You don't have to ask God for more power. Job had everything he needed. He said, even though skin worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so the devil knows what we're afraid of. How? He pays attention to us. He watched you get a letter. It's a bill you can't pay. And so he see your face. He see what happens to you. He hears what you say. And in this passage, what gets me about this passage, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying. That's the part. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What you're really saying is, can God feed me? Can God clothe me? Can God give me water to drink? And those were all the things that Israel had to suffer with. Out there in the wilderness, when they left Egypt and ate up them little sack lunches they had, and then they had no more food left, it was all gone. They 3 days into the journey, they only packed enough food for 3 days. Now they have no water, they have no food, and they have one suit of clothes. That's all they have to live in the wilderness. And so they come to some water, but they realize they can't drink the water because the water is marah. What does marah mean?
Bitter.
So they couldn't drink it. And they told Moses, we need water to drink, and all we have is this what? Bitter water. God told Moses to go get a stick. A stick, any kind of stick. Get in front of the people, toss it into the water. And the water became sweet. The water became drinkable. And then they complained against God again. They said, we got the water, but we don't have no bread, and we don't have no meat. And so God rained down manna from heaven. and gave them instructions about it. Here, for 6 days, y'all just take up enough for you and your family. And on the sixth day, take up a double amount, because on the seventh day, don't want you to do no work. Of course, some of the people didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. They took more. And all they did was what? What happens when we buy more food than we can handle? It rots. It gets freezer burn. And then you end up tossing it out. Amen. Well, what God was trying to teach them is to trust Him day by day. But what do we say? Amen. When adversity comes against us. That's what the Lord is looking for. What do we say? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Bible says pagans do that. Pagans, these are people who don't even know, trust, lean, or rely on the Lord. They worry about these things. Why? Because they don't know that God provides these things. They think they need a job to provide food for themselves. Well, where did Israel work at in the wilderness? Amen. God caused them to have water. God caused them to have food. And for 40 years, imagine this, your clothes don't wear out. God put everything in that manna. They had bread and water and meat for 40 years in the wilderness. And the clothes that they came out, and if you know anything about inflammation, my doctor, every time I go there, first I thought he was funny, but my doctor, he started grabbing my leg. I'm like, what's up with you? Amen. And he's just some like, you know. So I had to Google it up and found out he was searching for inflammation. Because apparently inflammation in his body is really bad. Amen. It could cause kidney problems. That if you heart problems cause your legs to swell. All of the inflammation is just bad for the body. But the Bible says they did not swell up. And when you read they did not swell up and you figure out what that swelling meant, that meant they were sick. So God was their doctor for 40 years and kept them well in the wilderness. And so the Lord says, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we put on? God will provide for us. God don't want us acting like pagans. He don't want us acting like people who don't know Him. We are God's children. And He provides for us. He gives us every single thing we need. And even if we have to, like the Hebrew boys, face the pain of death to keep God's word, that's when God knows that we trust Him. When Abraham raised the knife up and was on his way down, then the Lord said, now I know. That time will come. And if you read chapter 22, you'll see that when Abraham decided to do what God told him to do, the ram was seen in the bush. He didn't see the ram in the bush before that, but after that, there was a ram caught in the thicket, and you know it had to be making noise, but Abraham didn't see it or hear any of that until after he trusted God. So our blessing is on the other side of trusting God. Yes. The Lord doesn't mind if you're concerned. That only makes sense. Yes. But what He don't like is when we worry. Worry gives you high blood pressure. Worry will give you a heart attack. Worry will give you an aneurysm. Worry will cause all kinds of physical problems in this body. And that's why the Lord wants us to trust in Him with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll give direction to our pathways. Amen? But the devil wants us to be the kind of Christians that go to work worried. The devil wants us to be the kind of Christians who are out in the world somewhere worried. We're supposed to be people. What does 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say? Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Amen? Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. You'll get what? The respect of them who are on the outside. What does the word tell us about how we're to conduct ourselves on the job? The example we're supposed to give the people. We're not supposed to work like we work for them. We're supposed to work like we work for Him. Okay? And then that way, we set the standard, we set the example. But what do? We get a problem, and we start worrying. Worrying says, God can't help me. And then we throw up reasons. We try to justify our worry by saying, I did this, I did that 15 years ago, and now the Lord punished me. Mm. And then finally caught up with me. He remembered what I did 30 years ago, and now he even caught up with me and he punished me. That's where this is coming from. No, we don't make people trust God. We make people not trust God. Why? Because we don't trust God. See, it was important for Moses to stand in the front of these people and trust God. And so God said, what is that you have in your hand? And Moses held that. He realized what God gave him. And then it wasn't daytime yet, but he stood from the middle of the night all the way until dawn began to break in faith until the sea started to part. And that's what God wants us to do. We are the light of the world, right? A city that's on top of a hill cannot be hid. And what do we do when we don't trust God? We take that light and we put it under a bushel and it don't give light to the rest of the people in the room. Amen. Jesus, it was said about him when he started his public ministry that the people who sat in the regions of darkness, okay, a great light has sprung up. When a light comes on in a room, it lights up the whole room. And everybody in the room can see the light. But when we don't let our light shine because we got something to worry about, then everybody in the room don't see the light. Everybody in the room don't have the faith, the trust, the leaning and relying on God that we have. It's like going to the hospital and you go in there and you say, oh, Lord have mercy. Look at you. Amen. Hey man, that doesn't make them feel better like my doctor did when she got a look at my leg when my gravital eczema had gone straight crazy. And you probably would have said the same thing if you saw it. Amen. When her and her daughter, when I pulled up my pants and she looked at my leg, she said, oh, what is that? And I'm like, really? And I, really? And I'm here, that didn't inspire, you know, me to believe, to trust that she was able to help me, right? So the devil, what he wants us to do when God allows, when God divinely sends something, or when he allows something to happen, amen. Satan is going to be involved. Remember, every time God sends a test, Satan comes to tempt. Amen. God did test Abraham, but you better believe Satan was trying to tempt Abraham not to slay his son. So every time God sends a test like he did for Jesus, who showed up to tempt him? The devil. God took him, led by the Holy Spirit, to be tested out in the wilderness to see if he would trust, lean, and rely. And God knew he would, but guess what? Jesus had to do it. Does God know that you trust him? Does God know that you rely on him? Or do you get problems and stay up all night trying to solve it with worry? Or do you go to sleep and trust in the Lord? You want to hear about somebody who has something to worry about? When you read in Acts chapter 11 and 12, you'll see that James, John's brother, had his head chopped off. And since that made the Jews happy that one of these Christians got their head chopped off, well, he thought he would make them even happier. So he went and had Peter arrested, the leader of the 12. And the next day, he intended to cut Peter's head off. And to make sure that thing that happened in Acts chapter 5 didn't happen again when they got locked up, and then the angel came and let him out, to make sure that didn't happen again, he was chained between two guards to make sure that he wasn't going to be let out by no angel or disappear, and I go to Jackie the next day and he ain't there and I got to suffer that embarrassment. So what he did is had him chained between two guards. Well, guess what? Peter, knowing him, how many of y'all have had to go to the dentist the next day and you had a real good sleep that night? How many of you have had to face the doctor the next day and you had a real good sleep that night? How many of you had a bill that was way overdue and you didn't have a good sleep that night? Well, guess what? Peter knew his head was going to be chopped off the next day, but guess what he did? He went sound asleep, Ed. He was sound asleep. And how do I know he was sound asleep, Darius? I mean, Deacon Freeman, how do I know he was sound asleep? Because when the angel came, he had to shake Peter and wake him up. Shake him and wake him up. Peter had gone through enough to believe that God is going to get me out of this, or I'm going home to be with the Lord. Amen? And that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. He does not want us to have worry. He does not want us to have fear. He wants us to have faith. And he wants us to project that faith to the world. Yes, we have a problem, but we know God can solve problems. No, we don't like our problem any more than Jesus liked the idea of going to the cross. But nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done.
Yes.
I will trust in the Lord. I will believe that God knows what's happening to me and God has a plan to fix me. And even if he don't, like the Hebrew boys told Nebuchadnezzar, even if the Lord don't deliver us from the fiery furnace, we know that he'll deliver us to himself through the fiery furnace. So we're not bowing down to your God. Satan wants us to bow down and worry. Why? Because that makes God look bad. He wants to run up in God's face and say, like he said about Job, the only reason Oliver serves you is because you blessed him so well. But if you let me go down there and do this, what does the devil have to say to God about you? If you let me go down there and do this to Shirley, she will cuss you to your face. That's what he told God. If you let me go down there and do this to Job, he's going to cuss you to your face. She ain't going to church no more. She ain't going to read her Bible no more. See, you should have heard what the Lord told me after I had got past it, what the Lord told me Satan had said I would do when I got all that bad news. I don't like death, okay? And he, Lord knows I don't like needles, amen? And so Satan had told the Lord that like he did, would do about you, like he would do any one of us, if you let me go down there and this happened, they'll cut you to your face. They won't believe it. I had to preach with concern. You can't preach with words. I still had to do my YouTube, and if you listen to the YouTube, you will not hear any worry in it. You will not hear any concern in it. And all of that stuff was going on. All of that stuff was happening. I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I went through something.
Okay.
And the Lord didn't meet me until I got to the other side. He was basically silent. Have God ever just got silent on you?
Yes.
You praying, you asking, you talking, and you ain't hearing nothing?
Yes.
And you keep asking over and over and over, and ain't nothing changing? Everything's just staying the same? And it's like he is going death silence on you. But he's just waiting for you to get to the other side. You got to get to the other side. You got to get to the place where Job died. Even though he slayed me, yet will I trust in him. Even though he slay me, yet will I believe in him. Amen? Whether God brings us out or not, we have to get to the place that we trust him. So we're not like pagan people who don't know God. Now, I'm going to close with this. Jesus said, you should not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Here's how we get what we get from God. Whatever it is that we want. Okay? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know what that means? Kingdom? Kingdom, kings do what? They rule. That means God has to have the rule over you. Amen? He has to have the rule over you. We have to accept his rulership. So when the devil come around talking like he did to Jesus, okay, we might not get out of the wilderness, we might not get no food to eat, but we have to tell him what the Lord says. Don't just let the devil talk to you. Talk back to him. Know the word well enough to tell him the opposite of what he's saying. Told Jesus, if you're the Son of God, Wow. Jesus kicked him out of heaven. And he's going to get in Jesus' face and say, if you're the Son of God, then tell these stones to turn into bread, Son of God, since God loves you so much. But what did Jesus tell him? Deuteronomy 8:3, what does it say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did Jesus get a sandwich? No. So the devil came back, took him up on top of a high pinnacle of the temple, and said, jump off from here. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that the Lord will catch you and your foot won't even hit the ground. But the part the devil left out is the Lord will keep you in all your ways. In other words, if God tells him to go up there and jump off, not the devil, amen. Don't put God to the test. What is that? Deuteronomy 6:13. So he did Jesus jump off to prove who God was, to prove that God was in his life? No, he didn't. He just told the devil, look, I'm not going to put God to the test. Who put God to the test? Israel did, over and over and over and over. And how did that work out for them? Korah and his boys, 250 strong, all went down into the pit. Amen. And then 1,400 of them died from the death angel the next day. And then the snakes got them. And then the plagues got them. Why? Because they didn't trust the Lord. In the third temptation, the devil says, look, I'll give you all this. Everything that you can see, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. What did Jesus do? Gave him Deuteronomy 6:16. Amen. Away from me, Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord our God and him only. And then after the test was over, guess who showed up? The angels came and ministered to him. See, we have to get to the other side of the test, the other side of this temptation. You know, there's a song, I cannot remember the guy's name, but he says, waiting on the other side of this test, waiting on the other side of this temptation, is everything you trust God for, everything you believe God for, but it's on the other side. So if you want to get to the place, to the other side, then you're going to have to trust God on this side. If Jesus wanted to get to that great getting up Sunday morning, then he had to trust God Friday, he had to trust him Saturday, and he had to trust that the Lord was going to raise him up on the third day, just like he said. The Lord says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen?
Amen.
His kingdom, his righteousness, get everything. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. We even thank you for the opportunities that you give us to trust, lean, and rely on you. We don't like the situations, the trials, and the tribulations that we have to go through. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we go through. And we thank you that you are right here on the other side, where you send angels to minister to us, to strengthen us. You've even sent angels like you did for Jesus to strengthen us to go through what we have to go through. But the only way to get there is to seek your kingdom and to seek your righteousness, your right way of acting, thinking, and doing. And then all the things that we need, whatever it is, you will just add to us. And you admonish us not to worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Sufficient for us, Lord, is today, the troubles that we face today. So help us, Lord, to always trust, lean, and rely on you. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks, all the glory and honor. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.